I saw an eagle the other day. I was out working in my backyard, and man, there he was. And I thought, someday I'm going to have that freedom just to soar. You know, we're all bound by this earth. It gets a little old sometimes. Yeah, and that gave me encouragement. So today I'm going to talk about baptism, and I'm going to talk about first. I'm going to talk about baptism in time past. Then I'm going to talk about our unique baptism for today. And then I'm going to talk about how the religious world looks at baptism. So, if you ask the average man on the street or in the church pew what their understanding of baptism was, what would you hear? Tell me. Talk to me.
Water.
Water. What else would you hear? What? Immersion, sprinkling.
Salvation.
Requirement for salvation. What else? The red letter said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what he said. Right? Forgiveness of sins. So is there a lot of confusion out there about baptism? I would say so. Everybody wants to be a part of something, you know. And most churches, they have, you need to be baptized to be a member, to be identified with them, you know. So we're all looking for an identity. I saw this thing. I remember the Art Linkletter show where the kids say the darndest things, and I'm probably the oldest guy. But yeah, so he had the show. Kids say the darndest things. Well, Christians say the darndest things too. But so he had this little boy on there. He says, "Who's the boss in your house? Your mom or your dad?" The little kid says, "Both." And Art Linkletter says, "He says, wow. He says, hey, you're quite a diplomat, aren't you?" He said, "No, I'm a Catholic Baptist." So anyway, that's my opening joke. So here we go. Matthew chapter 3. The prophetic program is winding down when John the Baptist comes on the scene. And he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2. What is the kingdom of heaven? Let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. Find it. Ezekiel, Daniel. "For in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall be broken to pieces and shall consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." The kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical, visible, earthly, Davidic kingdom. It's what the Old Testament saints were looking for all their lives. They never looked at going to heaven. They looked at the kingdom being established on the earth. Okay? And Jesus Christ, their Messiah himself, would rule over the nations and rule over the nations of the world. The idea that the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that is practically equivalent to the body of Christ is just not true. But it is what most denominations teach today. All because they fail to see the mystery. God postponed the kingdom. He didn't negate it. It's just being on hold for a while. Romans 11, verse 15. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead?" So right now, we live in a time where the prophetic program has been set aside. Brian just did this whole wonderful series on the right division. If I start going into all that, I'll just get lost in the weeds and I'll never get my message done. But at one point, Israel failed their mission. God set them aside and brought in a new program that he hid in himself that was not made known. We're all saved Jew and Gentile are all saved the same way, simply by trusting in what Christ did for us at that cross. Okay. So their kingdom, it'll be established on the earth in a future day. We already talked about that. I got a bunch of verses for that. Well, let's just go. Let's go to Psalm 37, quick a minute. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 22. For such as he blessed him of him shall inherit what? The earth. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell there forever. So that's Israel's inheritance under the prophetic program. That's what they're going to inherit. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. So we're the body of Christ. We're going to inherit the heavenly places. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he's going to restore both spheres back to himself. He's going to use the nation Israel to restore the earth back to himself. And he's going to use the church, the body of Christ, to restore all the heavenly places back to himself. So John is calling out of apostate Israel, a believing remnant, to escape the wrath to come. Verse 7. Go back to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. Notice it's his baptism. It's John's baptism. Okay. There's many baptisms in the Bible. This one is John's particular baptism. And he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Was he trying to make friends with them? Calling them snakes. Not only you're a snake, but so is your daddy. You know? Pretty rough. Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. So, their baptism will take them from being a sinful nation. The nation Israel was in their fifth course of chastisement, and they were so far from who God wanted them to be. So John's saying, hey, get with the program. Get back in line with your covenant that God made with you, you know, and start walking the line. Part of that was, you know, confessing their sins. And so their baptism will take them from being a sinful nation and identifying them as a holy nation, the little flock. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Notice it's not a big flock. It's a little flock. Believers all through the ages have never been the majority. Am I right with that? I mean, that's kind of par for the course. So Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The issue again is the kingdom. Matthew 21, verse 43. Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, that's apostate Israel, and be given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So God is imploring the people to get right, to come out of that sinful nation, and he's going to start a new nation, the little flock he calls it. Okay, they were to be a priestly nation. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Let's go there a minute. When you think of a priest, you think of a mediator, don't you, between God and man? In the Catholic Church, they still have a priest. You got to go to this priest, and you know, he absolves your sins. You know, it's a very corrupt system, because right now we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Okay, but back then Israel was going to be like the mediator to all the nations, and they were going to be like a priest. Exodus 19. I got to find it. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. I'll start with verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. So to get a priest ready to function as a priest, he had to be washed. Since we're in Exodus, let's go to Exodus 29, verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with what? With water. Water baptism was nothing new to these people. You know, this wasn't like, oh, what's John doing out there? What's that crazy guy doing that's got, you know, grasshoppers in his teeth, you know, and he's dressed in leather and, you know, probably looks like a Harley driver or something, you know, rider. And it didn't look like the rest of the, you know, the religious leaders in Israel with their long robes and everything. But they're expecting a water ceremony with the coming of the king. Exodus 36, verse 24. I'm sorry, Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all your countries, and bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. So this was written in their prophetic scriptures. This was no surprise to them that this is what had to be done. The water baptism was a requirement when the kingdom gospel was being preached. If you believe the message given to you, you'd get water baptized. Faith says, God says, do this, and faith would do it. Today, God says, don't do nothing. Believe that I did it all. Trust me and me alone. Today, when you do the only thing you can do without doing nothing, and that's in believing what somebody else has done for you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But under their system, and this is where the confusion comes in with the whole church, they mix up Israel's program with our program. They had to do something to prove their faith. James 2:14, I think, faith without works is dead. That was written to them. James was written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. That was their mail. That is not our mail, you know. Luke 7, verse 29. I'll show you here in a minute. Luke 7, verse 29. Okay. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. They, when it says justified God, that just means they agreed with what God was saying. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They thought they were okay. You know, so we don't need that. We're Abraham's kids. You know, we're cool. We don't need that. Besides, you dress funny, you know. So, Matthew 3, verse 11, John's baptism is a national baptism. John is separating the wheat from the chaff. We better go to Matthew chapter 3 a minute. I'll start with 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up the children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So John's baptism is a national baptism. John is separating the wheat from the chaff, the men from the boys, so to speak. Let's see who really believes, you know. Preparing the nation to function in the coming kingdom. Baptism means to immerse, to initiate, to induct. The function of baptism is identification with the object of the baptism. So the object of their baptism was to function as priests, to be part of the little flock, to be identified with them, you know, in what God was doing. So Ephesians 4, 5, does anybody know what it says? There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one... What? Baptism. There's one baptism. So here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, let's count them. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, that one. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not able to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, two. And with fire, three. So how does that coincide with one today? I mean, even the Beatles knew that one plus one plus one is three, you know. Today there's one baptism. The first one is John's baptism. Second one here is Christ baptizing them with the Holy Ghost. Christ was going to baptize the little flock with the Holy Spirit to enable them to be the priestly nation that he called them to be. Acts 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this was also a prophesied baptism. And Christ was going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Then we had another baptism in John 3:11. It says, and with fire. Well, what the heck? That don't sound good. But I guess some Pentecostal brothers, they say, well, that's the fire that of the verse I just talked about. You know, because they had the flames of fire on their head. It ain't got nothing to do with it. If you keep reading there in Matthew, it tells you what the fire is. Okay. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's something that nobody wants to be a part of. All right, it's unquenchable. So I believe that fire, he's talking about the tribulation fire coming up. The ones that don't get in the water are going to go into the fire. If you believe God, you get water baptized. If you didn't, you would suffer the fires of the tribulation period. And if during that time you did not endure to the end, you did not be one of the overcomers, you would go into the everlasting fire, which is the lake of fire, which is unquenchable. That's how I see that. So if you want to escape the fire, you better get into the water. It was a requirement for them. You can't preach the gospel of the kingdom without water baptism. Okay. It is a requirement. And I have a bunch of verses for that, but I can see that already I'm going to fall behind if I hit every one of these. When I first started preaching, I told Brian, I have all this stuff in my head, and I said, I never have enough time. And he says, well, welcome to the world of preaching, you know. It's like that was my baptism into, it was my identification as preaching the word, you know, that happens to everybody, you know. So I guess I just need to get in a long line. So also, and I'm not going to get into all that, but fruit bearing was also a requirement. Let's look at Matthew 21, verse 43. Is fruit bearing a requirement today to get heaven? If it is, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of heaven shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So it's a nation. Again, that nation is the little flock, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Since you're in Matthew, back up a little bit. Chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Luke 3, verse 8. Luke 3, verse 8. Okay, we'll start with 7. Then said he unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized unto him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Drop down to verse 10. And the people asked him, what do we do then? What shall we do? And he answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him who hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came the publicans to him, Master, what do we do? And he said, Exact no more money, no more than which is appointed unto you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So they had to get back in line with being a godly people, didn't they? That was part of the deal. So here in this one verse, we have three baptisms. Now, listen, I got saved when I was 28 years old. Well, my first baptism was when I was 3.5 weeks old. And the only thing I was good at back then was decorating my diapers. And I don't remember nothing of this baptism, but there I was, you know. And the church that I grew up in, they said, now this makes you a child of the covenant. Well, you know, what does that mean? You know, and they even have in their doctrinal statements that a baptism has now taken the place of circumcision. I'm thinking, well, where did you get that from? What billboard did you read that from? But if you look up in the doctrinal statements of the Christian Reformed Church of America, you will read that. All right. So anyway. Not knowing, there I was in my mom's arms, and they were all excited, and so that was my first baptism. My second baptism, I was saved when I was 28 years old. I was going to a Pentecostal church. It was like the fifth denomination I was I was trying to find answers, trying to find the truth, and I ended up at this Pentecostal church, and they said, well, you know, well, let's go to Acts 2 a minute here. And this is all biblical, what they tell you, but it's not dispensational. It's very dangerous to be biblical without being dispensational. You can get yourself in a heck of a mess. And Satan uses the Bible too and doesn't rightly divide it. We're going to get at that in a bit. Acts 2, verse 38. Start with verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the disciples, men, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The remission there is forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, this church that I was going to, everybody was big on the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. You know, they're speaking in tongues and they're like, this is like a second kind of a blessing or something. And I'm like, well, I guess I want that, you know. So I got water baptized, you know, in front of like 2,000 people. And I did it. Looking back on it, I was sincere. And there's a lot of sincere people, all right? Can't really blame them because tradition runs deep, man. It runs deep. And Jesus says, by your traditions, you make void the word of God. That's the dangerous part of it. And so for me to be a member of the Assembly of God Church, I had to be water baptized. That was a requirement. That was a requirement that they had. To be a member of the church, the body of Christ, I better not do nothing. We just trust what He did for us. So denominations make it harder to be a member of Christ than what Christ does. You know, they have all these hoops you got to jump through, and that's not right. So I was baptized. Two times by water, and once by God. It was the operation of God when I was saved. We're going to get into that in a little bit too. What the operation of God is. Okay, let's see. Another place that they run to is what the great what. The Great Commission. They run to the Great Commission. Well, in the Great Commission, it says, go ye therefore into all the world. Let's look at it. Matthew 28. And is it a good idea to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel? Oh, before I do that, I want to go to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. People go here, okay? And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is there a requirement there? You can't preach the gospel of the kingdom without water baptism. But he that believeth not shall be damned. If you didn't believe like the Pharisees, you wouldn't get baptized. Okay. And verse 17. And these signs, they stop at verse 15. And but 16 and 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. How many of you have been casting out devils lately and speaking in a foreign language that you never even knew about? I don't see any hands. And they shall speak with new. They shall take up serpents. Any hands here? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. So that commission is going to be going on. I believe that's for the tribulation time. They're going to be that those are their instructions on what to do during the tribulation time, and that after the church, the body of Christ, is gone and out of here. Okay, and it's going to be a very, very difficult time on the earth. If you read in the book of Revelation, you'll read about serpents and devils, and you know, I mean, Satan and all his hosts is going to be cast out of heaven halfway through the tribulation. It's going to be a bad time. So that if you take what God says and puts it in the proper place, you can just believe the words for what they say and not have to change them, just putting them where they belong. Okay, the context is huge. It's always huge. So that commission belongs in the tribulation period. Now let's go to the book of Matthew a minute. Matthew chapter 28. And everybody and his brother mostly go here. Okay. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I believe this fits during the millennial reign of Christ, during the thousand-year reign. Because Israel is going to be... All Israel is going to be saved. Let's see what verse I want to use for that. Let's go to Romans 11. I don't have that in my notes, but I think that's where I want to go. Yeah. Romans 11, verse 26, and so shall all Israel be saved, as it is written. So at one point, at the second coming, all believing Israel is going to be saved. You had to believe, Romans 9. All believing Israel is going to go into the thousand-year reign. Okay, and at that point, they're going to teach the other nations. You can read about the other nations in Matthew 25. They didn't even know why they're going into heaven at that point, because it was just based on what they were doing. And those Gentiles that were going to go in, they're going to have families, and they're going to have children, and their children are going to have children. And it's 1,000 years. You can have a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people. So Israel is going to be the ones that are going to be teaching the nation. It's going to be under the law again, because it says in there, in Matthew, go back to Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Was Jesus Christ under the law when he taught? He was. Are they going to be under the law again in the millennial reign of Christ? They will be. And God will put the law into their hearts. It says in Jeremiah, and it says, no longer will they have to say to their neighbor, know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. Okay, so this nation, this priestly nation, is going to be God's conduit to teach the rest of the world. All right, that can't be our commission. Another reason why it says go there and baptize them, well, that flies in the face of Ephesians 4, verse 5. There's one baptism today. You'd make that too. That would be a problem, you know. It's really not that hard. It's really pretty simple. Just keep it in context what God says in His Word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, you don't have to go there. He says, I wasn't sent to baptize. And these people in Matthew, that's what they were told to do. That was part of their part and parcel of their instructions. Okay. So it appears that not only for the nation Israel will water baptism be necessary in the kingdom, but also for the nations who want to be a part of that program. Okay. Today we have a totally different program. We are not part of the law program. We are not under law. We are under grace. So all these baptisms we discussed, have to do with the prophesied kingdom program. All of them. All of them. Right division, I'm telling you, right division answers the confusion that's out there, doesn't it? It's really, once I saw right division, and I was 5 years into Christendom, once I saw it, I'm like, yeah! That makes sense to me. You know, it was like this big bright light went on, and it was like, I can just read the verses and put them where they belong and just believe them. I don't have to change them. I don't have to gloss over them. I can just believe them and understand what my mail is, you know, compared to what their mail was. So you don't want to go to the wrong mailbox. It can really mess you up. So all these baptisms we discussed have to do with the prophesied kingdom program, all of them. God has for now set aside that program. He set aside the so-called Great Commission. He set aside having Israel to be the head. He set aside the performance-based law program. He set aside all those different baptisms and is now identifying all those who simply place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ as the only and complete payment for all their sins into the body of Christ. The element we're baptized into is the body of Christ. That's where we want to be. That's where lost people need to be. All right? So we have a very unique baptism. It's different than all those. It happens the very second you place your faith in Christ alone. No works expected or accepted. If you try to work for it, you don't get it. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly. That's me. And if you're honest, that's you. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes all your sin and gives you his righteousness. That's a bargain. That's the best deal you're going to get. Well, just as a white rag is baptized into red dye is seen as red forevermore, a sinner baptized into Jesus Christ is seen as a new creation in Christ forevermore. The only baptism taught by Paul which identifies the believer with Christ, his death, and his resurrection. This baptism is performed by the Spirit. It is not accompanied by water. By a water ritual, it is the operation of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Notice in this verse, there's no distinction anymore between Jew and Gentile. That's done with. All right? We're all the same. We're all in the same playing field. We're all at the foot of the cross. We all come the same way. Okay. And it says it's the operation of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in water. What? No. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of your local pastor. What's it say? Operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So the second you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, all your sins are forgiven. There's a lot of lost people out there that ask God to forgive them, but they're not even Christians yet. God's like, why should I forgive you? He doesn't have to. You trust the gospel. And when you trust in that, you have redemption and you have the forgiveness of sins that come as a package deal. Okay. All right. So God today, in the dispensation of grace, is not forming a new nation, but He is forming the church, the body of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Start with 16. So this is like our commission here. This is like our marching orders. This is what we need to tell people. We don't tell people, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming pretty quick. You better get in the water if you want to flee the wrath to come. All that's been set aside for now. It's going to happen, but right now it's been postponed. All right. So we don't tell people that. We don't tell them a lie, and we don't mix up a lie with truth. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You don't know people as a Jew or a Gentile today, or as circumcised or uncircumcised today. We know them all as the same. Yea, though we had known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Ooh. Now we don't know Christ as the man from Nazareth. We know Him as the risen Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father in the third heaven. And these are His instructions to the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's our identity. That's who God puts us in. We're baptized into His death, into His burial, and His resurrection. Everything that He did becomes ours. Okay? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So today God is forming the one new man, the new creation, the one new man He talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go there quick a minute. New creation, the one new man, is essentially, it is the same thing. Okay. Ephesians 2, verse 15. Let's start with 14. For He is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. Who hath made both one, both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no longer a division anymore. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace. So today, God is not forming a little flock. He's not forming a new nation. He's forming the church, the body of Christ, okay, which we are a part of. Second, we believe what we have to believe. So who is the baptizer in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13? For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body. Who's the one baptizing? Holy Spirit. Who's the one baptizing in Matthew 3, 11? Let's go back there a minute. Somebody said Christ. That's right. So you have two different members of the Godhead doing two different things. Matthew 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So Christ back then is baptizing them with the Holy Ghost, and we already looked at that. It can't be the same thing as in this age today, the Holy Spirit baptizing us into Christ. Things that are different are not the same. And some people want to make that baptism the same thing. It's not. It's different. There's lots of different baptisms in that book. So Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all children of God by water baptism. No. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you put water in that verse, if you say baptize, like Jim said at the beginning, when people say baptism, right away they think water. If you put water in that verse, you negate the purity of the gospel. So what are the mechanics? So as many of you, for you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So this happens the very second we believe. Let's go to Ephesians 1 verse 13 a minute. There's like an order. You in whom hear the truth in its clarity, hopefully, you can't do nothing. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you believe that. And I remember when I was 28, I read that, and I thought, wow, that's really? I don't have to do nothing? And because most of all of us were raised in a church that, under the law, you had to toe the line, you had to do this, you had to do that, and hopefully you'll get there one day. Who knows? And I read that. I thought, wow, that's really good news. I believe that. So I did. I believe that. And that very second, I became God's kid. I always get choked up when I think of that. Because when I think about what he saved me out of. Man. And at that very moment, he's like, Ernie, I know how you are, really. And he says, I'm going to seal you with my Holy Spirit. You can't get out of it if you wanted to. And that's what he does with all of us. We're one with him. For us to lose our salvation, Christ would have to die and fall out of heaven. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Galatians 2, verse 20. Start with 19. For I, through the law, I'm dead to the law. The law's purpose was to show us that we can't do it. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. See, I can never measure up to this stuff. So I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. I'm still Ernie, but I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ gave himself for us. If I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Water baptism is a law ordinance. If you add that to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you frustrate the grace of God. God does not take that lightly. Does not. And that's Satan's biggest thing, is to frustrate the grace of God. To keep people from seeing the simplicity that is in Christ. To keep people from trusting the gospel. And if they don't trust the gospel, they will be in that fire we talked about in Matthew 3, that unquenchable fire, which is a horrible thing to think of, but it's reality. Okay. So his death became your death. His resurrection became your resurrection. His burial became your burial. His life became your life. One blessed day. Oh. Yeah. One blessed day when he returns and starts wrapping this whole thing up, he will be the heir of all things. And we too, because of our identification, our baptism with him, we will be joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 17. Think of that. If you ever have a down day, and we all do, I do, someday, let's go to the verse. And if children, let's start at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit The spirit there is the word of God, bears witness with our spirit. When we read this, we say, that's true, that's true. You know, you ever get that when you read the Bible? It's like, that, yeah, that's true. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. All right, we're all going to suffer. We're all going to suffer with him. That's a given, all right? Living down here and being a member of the body of Christ, the world is not going to be happy with us. We're going to suffer with him. And we'll be joint heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Someday, everything is going to be different, man. Someday, everything that's his, he freely gives to us. What an amazing thing. We can't even imagine that right now, being so earthbound, can we? You know, we can't imagine all that. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. So there's one baptism. This is the one baptism. It's the only baptism for us today. Accept no substitutes. Most church people say water baptism is the outward sign of an inward faith. Whoever heard that before? It's an outward sign of an inward faith. It's not. Huh? Show me the verse. They can't because there is not one. There's not a verse that says that. Putting water in Romans 6 hides our position in Christ and our union with him. There's four reasons why Romans 6, go to Romans 6, 3 through 4 cannot be water baptism. Let's read that a minute. Romans 6, 3. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the person that we were before we came to believe the gospel, God didn't say, yeah, Ernie, he's kind of a rascal. We're going to have to reform him. We're going to have to get him to do a little better. God says, no, we're going to have to kill him. And my old man, that's what he did. He reckoned his death as my death. He reckoned his burial as my burial. He reckoned his resurrection as my resurrection. So we're guaranteed all these things, all because of him, all because we are in Christ. There's four reasons why this can, but people put water in there. First, the number one reason, it would negate faith alone, wouldn't it? Because you're adding something. Number two, it would make water baptism necessary for salvation. Number three, it would deny the one baptism of Ephesians 4 verse 5. Because you got the spirit baptism and you got water. It would take away what only God can do and glorify man himself. Ooh. If you go to all these churches, different websites, I've seen some with the church of Calvary in Muskegon. Right on, you just go there, and they're showing, they have a video of people getting baptized. That's like the first thing on their mind. See what we do. Are they glorying in God? Are they glorying in the cross alone? No, they're glorying in man. Satan hates the mystery program. I get an amen with that. Satan wants to keep it hid. Satan wants to keep the blind blind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And whom the God of this world, who's that? And whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan tries to blind people to the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, since you're in 2 Corinthians. Satan is a known counterfeiter, isn't he? He can't come up with nothing new. He's got to pervert the stuff that's already there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I love that. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, is faith plus works another gospel? Yes, it is. Which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Oh, let's just go along with the program, guys. Come on. Let's not be so contrary, guys. Come on. We don't want them all to hate us. Come on. We've got to stand firm. We've got to stand firm in what we believe. We've got to stand firm in what God's Word says. Verse 12, chapter 11, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Is Satan active in the religious world? Yes, he is. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. So look how good we're doing. We're doing what God says to do. You know, we're doing this little ritual here. Whose end shall be according to their works. Aren't you glad your end is not according to your works? Numbers 21, verse 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 21, verse 5. I got this little nugget, I got to say. I went to Tennessee a couple years ago and I got for a Bible conference at Frank Redmond's church. I love those people. And David Reed spoke and he talked about this for a bit. And I'm going to use that someday. This is the day. I got it from David Reed. I got to say it, but it's in the Bible, so I'm thinking it's anybody can use it, right? So Numbers chapter 21 verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent, he lived. All he had to do was look at if he got bit by a snake, he'd just look at the brass serpent, and he'd be all right. So that was instructions at that time for those people. All right, go to 2 Kings, verse 18. Second Kings chapter 18. Verse 1. 2 Kings 18, verse 1. And now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right. He was a good guy. There wasn't too many good kings, but he was a good one. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. This is like 820 some years after Numbers that we just read. So, for unto those days, from that time unto now, the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan. Now, was at that time, did that brazen serpent have a purpose? It did. Did 800 years after that, when they weren't even in the land anymore, did that serve the same purpose? It did not. But what did they do? They made an idol out of it. And I got to say, water baptism is the Nehushtan of today. People make an idol out of it. And it is an abomination to God. It's evil. I'm going to say it. It's evil. Are the people that doing it, you know, are they like this evil? No, it's the leaders I'm mad at. It's the leaders I'm mad at. You should know better. You should read your Bible and believe it. So that's what's going on in the religious world today. They're taking water baptism, a ritual that was once required but no longer is, and making it a requirement to either be a member of their denomination or, worse yet, to be saved. Church of Christ, if you're not water baptized, you're not even saved. That's bad. So whether it's Mormon Church, the Jehovah Witness Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which we call what, cult? Your local Baptist Church, the Protestant churches, the Calvinism churches, your so-called non-denominational church, the Roman Catholic Church, you need to be water baptized to be part of that assembly. That little assembly identifies you with that particular belief. It is a baptism that is no baptism at all. I call it a denominational baptism. You're not going to find the denominational baptism in this book. Has anyone ever told you you're in a cult? Oh, you don't believe in water baptism? You must be in a cult. I find it ironic that it's even in the cults that have water baptism to initiate you into their club. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, yeah, you've got to be water baptized. So water baptism is the tie that binds all denominations and all the cults. It's a false unity based on the ignorance of man who are wise in their own conceits, who because of the traditions of men have made void the word of God. We live in one of the most ignorant times where truth sounds like error. We live in one of the most ignorant times where truth sounds like error to the ignorant ear. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time has come. That time has come. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We have heaps of teachers teaching the wrong thing. Is heaps a lot? If I have a heap full of mashed potatoes on my plate, that's a lot. So there's a lot of people preaching the wrong thing. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Is there going to be afflictions for standing for this truth? You bet there is, unless you keep your mouth shut. Galatians 5, verse 11. I'm almost done. Galatians 5, verse 11. I'll preface this by saying, like I spoke about earlier in this message, that the church I grew up in, they said that baptism now takes the place of circumcision. That's a problem. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. That about wraps it up, man. I mean, if you're out there, the cross ain't going to be offensive to people if they still got something to do, because the natural bent of the lost man is pride, and the natural bent of the lost man is, let me do something. God says, you can't do nothing. It's a gift. All you got to do is say, I believe that, you know. All right, brethren, if baptism takes the place of circumcision, let's put that word in there. And I, brethren, if I yet preach baptism, why do I yet suffer persecution? This is the offense. Then the offense of the cross is ceased. Galatians 6, verse 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Circumcision takes the place of baptism in the religious mindset of people today. You can put that word in there. They constrain you to. Do they constrain you to? You can't even be a member of their church unless you're water baptized. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They don't want to suffer persecution for it. They want something to do with it. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Second Corinthians 2, verse 17. Two more verses, and then you go home and eat your hot dogs. Second Corinthians 2, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. There's many that don't understand this. We are to be long-suffering, gentle, and kind, but also correct. And what we tell people, okay? Galatians 1, 10 through 12. For do I now persuade God, man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul did not get his message from the 12. He got it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because it's a different message. It's a different gospel. It's the one for today. Okay. So there's one baptism today, and God performs it, not man. Can you imagine a lost person that did what the pastors told him, what the preachers told him, and died, and never really trusted the gospel, and stands before God one day, and God says, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" And he says, "Well, I was water baptized." And God's like, I'm really the only, you know, water baptism is the operation of God. We read about it in Colossians 2. God's like, who was your surgeon? You know, it was Reverend so-and-so. God said, I wasn't in the operating room that day. You know, I never knew you, see you. That's the truth. So there's one baptism today, and God performs it, not man. Ephesians 4, 5, Colossians 2, 12. It takes place not in a religious ceremony, for it is the operation of God. But at the very second, when you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, believing that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, laying aside all your deadly doings, and trusting in Him alone, and receiving that gift, you are saved. You pass from darkness to light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the simplicity that is in Christ. We thank You that what was hard for You, dying our death, taking all our sins upon Yourself, You made it easy for us.